FM.
Think fast. In the short time it takes to listen to this message, a small flame can turn into a big fire. Several minutes more, and thick, poisonous smoke may have filled your lungs and reduced your ability to respond. Give it five, and your entire home may be filled with flames.
Keep breathing. We've got you.
Don't let your world go up in smoke. Have working smoke alarms and keep heaters 3 feet away from anything that can burn. Learn more at usfa.fema.gov, because fire is everyone's fight.
Pop quiz, which is more dangerous, alcohol or marijuana? Study after study, the science shows that alcohol causes much more harm to the user and to society than marijuana. So why do colleges punish students more harshly for getting caught with cannabis? Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy and give your college administrators a simple pharmacology 101 lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out if there's a chapter at your school or how to start one.
Good afternoon to you. It's WMFO 91.5 on your FM dial. Thanks for tuning in today. My name is Bill, and I'm here every other Monday with my good friend Becky. And today I'm joined by a very special guest. Sorry, say that again.
B-L-A-Q.
Oh, B-L-A-Q. All right. B-L-A-Q, thank you for being here. Thank you, Becky.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Bill.
Bill and Becky and B-L-A-Q. Am I supposed to hear anything in my mic?
You should be hearing yourself right in that in those headphones.
Nope. Hearing nothing. There we go. Oh, awesome.
Great. Where's that paper I printed out for you?
Should have had your own printed out.
I know. Well, what we want to talk about today is what's obviously in the front of everybody's mind. I mean, it's pretty clear that there's a disconnect between reality and between what people are seeing and thinking in their own mind. And I'm talking about the fear that has gone on around this whole vaccination and virus scenario. Now, look, the whole point is that there is nothing to fear at all, ever in life. In fact, this particular virus thing is more pure than ivory soap. Why? Ivory soap is 99.44% pure, right? And that's how we make sure that we're lathering up some pureness, because we've been told it's 99.44% pure. But what's COVID? 99.9%. That's right. Nobody has anything to fear from COVID, especially the young and anyone under 50 at least. The only people who have anything to worry about are very old. You hear yourself okay?
Yes.
And so the point today is to show that there is no fear, and we will show you why, because we've been thinking about it. And there's all kinds of evidence that shows there's no fear and that you're only being duped. Now, you can call. We'll put you on air. 855-915-WMFO is the number. That number is 855-915-9636. And you can call and we'll talk. So, BLAQ. Tell me a little bit about yourself. You've been on stages. You've been around the town. You know what's going on.
Don't believe the hype.
Yeah, no.
From day one, March 16th, 2020?
Yep.
As soon as they said 2 weeks to flatten the curve, I knew something was up. I basically grew up in the 20th century, believe no one, trust no one, question authority, be an independent thinker. I am shocked and saddened by the rapidity with which the American population succumbed to propaganda, to coercion, to everything other than the facts. Even from day one when they said the virus is 99%, the survival rate of COVID is 99% if you're under 70 with no comorbidities. Why are people still not accepting the fact that the very old and the very frail and the immunocompromised, people who have low vitamin D, who are morbidly obese, who have other comorbidities, are the ones that are dying? Even worldwide, less than 1% of the world population is dying from COVID.
I think the number is 400 million out of 7 billion, which is less than 0.1%.
Yes.
Yeah. Now,
in the words of Echo and the Bunny Man, it's a drop in the ocean.
I know. Let's see, you're on 2, 3, 4. When someone is really sick, then they should be worried about colds and flus and other things that are just existent in the environment. There is no reason that this is anything different.
Correct.
It's just the same existence, and there's been many other
pandemics
in the past.
You want me to
like
give you the
50
list?
Years. You got a list of pandemics,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do.
And they're
where's my paperwork?
They've been
2000,
around.
Oh wait a minute, here we go.
I think there was one in the 70s.
1976. That was the one. Actually, 1968. That was the Asian Hong Kong flu. 1968. You know what else happened during 1968? Black Woodstock and Woodstock. People tripping, getting high. The death rate was minimal. They didn't tell anybody what was going on, but everybody was partying like it was 1999, and herd immunity worked for that one. 1976, I'm old enough to have been through every one of these. 1968, right up to now. 1976, it was the swine flu, I think. The U.S., organized a vaccine campaign. They had thousands and thousands of doses. 40,000 people signed up. They got shot. I mean, they got injected. 450 people were injured and 53 people died. They stopped it 6 weeks after they started it. 2003, 2004, 2005, 2009. Need I go on?
Well, the thing is, there's a lot of fear going on from this, and it was started from my most recent example that I can remember is the SARS. What was it? The bird flu or
avian flu? 2004.
What about the one that killed 300 people and they were freaking out about it and showing a picture of mad cow?
Yes.
And then one doctor was kept on airport property for weeks, and she wanted to sue about that.
That was Ebola.
Right? That's what I'm thinking of, Ebola.
Yeah.
And people were just freaking out about it because they were told to by television stations. And television stations have a built-in need to create fear because that's where their money comes from.
If it bleeds, it leads.
You're worried, what's going on? I've got to know, and turn it on. And then you see the advertisements, and so that's how they make their money. How else can they make their money? Not by telling you that the world is beautiful and that you should love your neighbor.
And the world would be happy,
and then they'd never watch it again.
Right, and don't forget, 1981... HIV, it's still out there. They haven't cured AIDS. They've tamped it down through medication, and that's not even on the top 10. HIV, 81. You know who was in charge of that? The same guy that said you could get it if heterosexual couples could get AIDS if they lived in the same house together. 1981. I lost more gay men. I was in college. I lost so many gay men. I went to more funerals from 1984 to 1991 than I've ever had in my life. Every single weekend for months, I went to a funeral.
Whoa.
Devastating. I worked at a gay health club in the South End. Anthony Fauci was in charge of the HIV, whatever you want to call it.
He was?
Yes, he was.
That's who said what you just said?
Yes, he did.
Oh, my God. Well,
can we slow down?
Yes,
a little bit.
Okay.
I have a question about the HIV thing that you said, and I guess just pandemics in general.
Okay,
because a lot of these things are new. In most cases, it's a strain that's never been seen. And
what's a strain that's never been seen?
some of these diseases, I mean, it's like, how do I say it? Like COVID, right? It
was It's not. COVID's been around for 200. There's over 100 COVID viruses roaming around right now on the planet.
That's right. But they're it keeps changing, right?
That's right. That's what viruses do. That's why you can't. HIV is a perfect example. That's why you can't get a vaccine for one, because by the time you get the vaccine, it's already mutated. It only mutates a little. It's sort of like a birth control pill. When they came out with the birth control pills, are you familiar with birth control pills?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When they came out with the birth control pill, they had one.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are 20.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take? It took from 1957 to now.
And therein lies my point, because with every mutation, there's something that's different.
It becomes more transmittable, but it becomes less deadly. That's what happens with mutations. They always come out the strongest, get the weakest, and then circulate throughout the population, getting the weak people, and every time it goes around another say if it stays in the same neighborhood. Like, say, imagine you've got a dog that's in your neighborhood and it bites one person, that person freaks out.
Mm-hmm.
The dog goes around, the next person bites another one. By the end of the week, people know how to avoid that dog. The dog's still biting, but they've figured out ways to adapt their behavior. That's what viruses do. They figure out who they can attack, keep attacking until behavior changes. And that's why you cannot create a vaccine because the vaccine's already gone. This doctor, German doctor, said it's like the vaccine that they're doing now, the stuff that they're doing now is like shooting the cannon after the war's already been won. You can't chase the virus because it's already mutated. So whatever they're doing is not going to catch you're never going to catch it because you're already behind. It's like chasing the bus.
Yeah, that's why they need a new flu vaccine every year.
Right, exactly.
If people
same
want
idea.
To take it.
Influenza virus, rhinoviruses, they mutate too. Coronaviruses mutate. All viruses mutate a little.
Yeah, true.
And there's no way you're going to catch it. And giving it to children is insane.
Yeah.
Because they already have immunity. If you have a 5-year-old who's had a cold, every 6 months on, you've probably had a cold. You know, a little snotty thing, they blow, and the big balloon comes out.
Mm-hmm.
If they've had a cold, they probably have cross immunity to COVID. That's why they're not dying at all. They're not spreading. Even if they're spreading it, the U.S. is one of 17 countries to close their schools for the last year and a half. And all of the schools that stayed open around the world, none of these kids died. In Sweden, 1.8 million people, kids under 16, went to school. No masks, no social distancing, nothing. Not one death. We had more people die the last year and a half, under 18s, from drowning than flu and COVID.
Hmm. Well, the thing is, they're young, so you've got a vibrant immune system.
Right.
And that's the point, is that you get a lot of colds when you're young so that you don't have them when you're older. I got chicken pox when I was young. I'll never have it again.
I did too.
Measles is not a bad thing to have. There is a vaccine for it. People want to do it for that. You know, there is more deaths than there should be, but it's not an extraordinary event for most people.
It is going to be for the next 5 years, because most of the kids in the world did not get measles, mumps, TB, polio, rubella. They missed all their immunization. The collateral damage to this thing is going to be 3 times as high as the death toll for COVID worldwide. Because they're not getting immunized.
No,
no, for children.
Oh, why?
Because they didn't get immunized.
You mean
most
on the
kids,
other
no,
other
no, for all the stuff that they have, for the legitimate vaccines that are out there.
Oh, I see.
Most kids around the world, Western kids in particular, did not get immunized for any of the standard ailments that kids get. Measles, mumps, chickenpox. Mumps. They didn't get immunized because they didn't go to the doctor last year.
Oh, in the past few years. Yeah, okay. I understand that. Yep.
And that's going to come back and bite everybody in the butt.
Well, now this one we're talking about, the COVID-19, is...
I like the COVID.
It's not dangerous to anybody. Almost. I mean, you have to say almost, but that leaves a large gap that is not proportional to the actual gap. You should really more accurately say no one, because that is, thought of as a, talking in general about something. No one's going to get that. That's the way I mean it. I don't mean it in a scientific way of zero, because nothing is certain, except death and taxes, right?
That's right.
But so you're not going to get sick from it. You'll get sick, but you'll recover. And there are treatments. There are many treatments. There's you've probably heard this called horse dewormer, but guess what? Ivermectin was made for humans, and it was prescribed billions of times for many different virus problems all around the world for the past 10 years.
Nobel Prize in Medicine 2015.
And the CDC
has it on their required drugs if you're coming from certain countries.
Because it's very helpful, and it helps people that have it and have symptoms. Also, there's hydroxychloroquine and monoclonal antibodies. And hey, what about good old-fashioned exercise, sunlight, and vitamins? If you stay healthy, stay thin, and keep yourself active, then you have much less chance of getting sick with anything, let alone COVID. So almost, you know, in Colorado, they're the most active state in the country. Many people are much less likely, just theoretically, from being active, from getting severely sick from it.
Yeah, they're supposed to be the healthiest state in the country.
Now, when you do, the people who did get very sick from it had four different problems with them, like four major problems with their health, like heart disease or respiratory problems beforehand, like
obesity,
for example, emphysema, obesity, and so they
low
were
vitamin D.
Low vitamin D, exactly. What was it, like 80% of the people who died had low vitamin D?
Deficiencies below the recommended, yeah.
Where are you getting this fox from?
Huh?
This is
the place.
This is what has been talked about in the things I listen to, which, I've got to tell you about.
You want me to keep talking?
Keep talking.
Vitamin D, if you can look at this, you actually can look on the CDC website when it comes to deficiencies. If you go on the CDC website, you can sign up for their newsletter, and they'll send you, every time they change something, like when they change the definition of herd immunity, mm-hmm. or when they change the definition of vaccines, they'll send you a notice to your email in telling you what the latest thing is, the latest this or the latest that. And I had it for the last year, and for some strange reason, I don't get it anymore. So I signed up on, I have three different emails just for different things, mm-hmm. and they'll send you an email every time there's some update. But I had to dig for the herd immunity one that they changed in October of 2020, and December 2019, they tried to change the definition of vaccine. And thank God a bunch of physicians found it, and they were like, hey, you can't change, they tried to change herd immunity to say that it's created by a vaccine, which is, no, that doesn't happen that way, at least not this vaccine. They tried to change the definition of herd immunity and vaccine, and they did that in the last years. You won't find that on their website because they don't like to claim that they did that, but if you look at a 2020 version, which is what I did, and I wish I could have kept it, I had a 2020 version of the definition of herd immunity, and then I went and compared it to the 2021 version, and then they changed it back because I think a bunch of doctors were like, no, we've had immunology and virology for the last 200 years, and that definition doesn't fit with anything that's in there, so you need to change it back, which is kind of interesting that they did. So they even succumbed to peer pressure. But vitamin D, yeah.
How are other countries dealing with this? Because, for example, India used ivermectin in one state to
Uttar Pradesh and nothing.
How many people are in that state?
1.6 billion?
No, well, in the country, 300 million people.
Yeah,
in
they're the same size as the U.S.
in that state,
size.
And they almost eliminated COVID entirely by using ivermectin.
Yep. 5 cents a pill.
Wasn't India the same country that recently had like a really bad.
Different province. Different sect. Different. Think about
state.
Texas versus
California.
California or Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Huge place. Mm-hmm. How many people? 1.4 billion people
in the
or
whole
something.
Country, yeah.
Yeah, 300 million Uttar Pradesh. Look it up. They basically, and that was different than, what was it? I can't remember the name of the other country, other province in India, but Uttar Pradesh gave everybody ivermectin, 5 cents a pill, 3 times a day, and within weeks, COVID dropped to nothing.
It's a prophylactic, which means you can take it without having problems and it will keep it away from you.
It's even good for children.
Also in Sweden, they never had masks. Is that right?
Nope. No masks, no social distancing. Every 16 and under went to school the whole year. 17 and 18s, which they usually graduate around 17, so they weren't even in the system. But everything was, yeah, nothing. 1.8 million kids.
Yeah.
Not one death.
Okay.
Kept their stores open, kept everything. I'm going to Sweden in a couple of months. Yeah. There's numerous Denmark, all the Swiss countries, Denmark, Norway, Sweden. I get the other. What's the other ones?
Finland.
Yeah. Pretty much did the same thing.
Okay.
And they're doing fine, even though I think Norway just did a lockdown or something because they had almost all their population vaxxed, and they have a higher incidence of COVID right now than they did the first time around.
Whoa, interesting. Okay, now what about the UK? Because it seems like nobody's wearing masks there at all now.
They are not wearing masks, except the guy, the health director, just tried to get them to reinstitute masks for the winter season. Kids all have to wear masks in high school. I mean, all kids through K through 12 have to wear masks. They stopped the shot for 12 and below. For this company, this governing body called the JCVI, which is the, I don't remember. I have a friend of mine that lives in the UK and he's a nurse. So they're trying to not get kids having the shot. Moderna's been taken off in the Nordic countries. Where somewhere else they just stopped using it. All Nordic countries don't use Moderna. The UK doesn't use Moderna for anyone under 30. The U.S. is still using it for some strange reason. But the U.K. is kind of iffy. They keep going back and forth. They waffle back and forth. They close the pubs. They open the pubs. They close the pubs. But the U.K. is right in between India and the U.S. Everybody's trying to do certain things. Different provinces are doing different things. Scotland is crazy. They're like New Zealand right now as far as they're trying to keep... They're trying to do zero COVID, which isn't going to work.
Yeah, no, it's impossible. You just have to accept that it's another cold that you're going to get because it's not dangerous. It's just anything
else. It's dangerous for old people and those with comorbidities.
Just like the flu.
Exactly. Sad. Yeah. But the sad part is, like we were talking about yesterday, we weren't emotional like the way they pushed this. We're analytical versus somebody who's more emotional. And that seems to be the thing that's motivating people to be so upset about it. Like if you question the narrative, it's like, oh, you're trying to kill grandma, like you said yesterday. You're doing this, you're doing that. It's like, we're not. I'm not an emotional person. I'm emotional when I stub my toe, but I'm not emotional when, you know, poor grandma or poor this. But on the other side, all these people that are masking their kids and telling everybody that they should get their, being proud of getting their third booster. Are you going to be proud when you get your seventh booster? You're going to be dead. How many of these can you take before something happens and it's not good?
It is a kind of emotional kind of blackmail because it comes at it from a different point of view. When some crisis happens, the emotions happen first in anybody. If you have an altercation at work or on the street with somebody who you kind of like, there's some friction there and you have a little kind of dust up. You're yelling at each other. The emotion happens first instead of having a relaxed kind of meditative viewpoint of saying, well, what's happening here? What's their viewpoint? What is going on? For the most people, it starts with emotion. So in a crisis like this, the emotions come out first and people say, I'm afraid of death and I'm afraid of you now because you might give me death. But in fact, it just zooms to the end of the road immediately and you can't bring it back. And then when there's a time to finally relax and the emotion has gone away, then the more rational voices can take over and kind of say the statistics and show that there's nothing really wrong here and there's nothing to fear.
Right. From day one, they said 99% survival rate.
Yes.
Why are people not remembering that? It just blows my mind. From day one, 99% survival rate. If you're under 70 with no comorbidities and healthy, and for some strange reason, that has disappeared. Almost like the they're experimental gene therapy. They're not a vaccine. Vaccine takes a bit of a pathogen and puts it into a solution, puts it in your body, and your immune system works on it. This is not a vaccine. It's an experimental gene therapy.
And now, so what they do is alter the body's natural usage of their cells to create a spike protein, which is then seen by the body as the virus, correct?
Correct.
And that way it makes the body then makes the antibodies to that spike protein that the body also made. So the body's fighting against itself.
Exactly, and it's creating COVID in its wake. Why do you think the people, once they get the second shot, actually when they get the first shot, if you test 2 weeks later, if you take a COVID test, you're probably going to test positive for COVID. Why? Because your body is producing the stuff that it's trying to fight. After the second shot, it even goes even higher. So it's like your likelihood, but they're not testing people after their second shot anymore. Why? Who knows?
Well, it's not what an autoimmune deficiency is when the body fights against itself, and why there's inflammation.
The experimental gene therapy is doing. Your body is fighting itself. Some people are strong, but the people that are getting the most sick, the Providence, P-Town people, 80% of those people, 90% of those people were vaccinated. They got COVID. The Barnstable thing, 70-80% of those people were vaccinated. What's happening is their body is fighting against itself.
And they ended up fine, though, didn't they?
So, yes, Becky. No deaths.
We got a question here. So
you're going to tell us what happened in Kenya, by the way.
Before we get to that, let's talk
Betty
about the...
Betty from Kenya. I love that.
Let's talk about the vaccine and how it's made.
It's not a vaccine.
Because what I hear is, and I could be wrong, are you guys against the status quo? Because maybe they're just trying a different way of making a vaccine.
Well,
why
it's
are
not
we just so stuck with the initial way of doing it?
All right. First of all, it's not a vaccine. It's experimental gene therapy. The CDC changed the definition to include this in its emergency use authorization. They've never done that before. They already had everything in place, sort of similar to the fact that even though the FDA advisory panel was answering questions about vaccinating children, they had already bought enough vaccine for every child, even before the panel decided, let's just shoot up a bunch of kids. So there are too many. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, because all of the things that people have been saying for 2 years is coming true. Who funds the FDA? The pharmaceutical companies. Mm-hmm. Who has a vested interest in making as much money as possible from vaccines that have no liability, from experimental gene therapies? They don't have any liability. So if you take it and you lose your child, where is this? 500 spontaneous abortions over the last 4 months taking the thing. But anyway, I'm not against vaccines. I've had them all. Thank God I didn't get any side effects or whatever. But I'm not taking this one. Not because I don't think that modern science is amazing, but this one was done in 9 months. There's no long-term trial, no long-term studies. The one they did for kids, they didn't even adjust it for child size. They basically extrapolated stuff from adults, information from adults, and sort of attributed to, if you're 150 versus 50 pounds, we'll tone this down to this. They changed one little lipid protein so that it's not as poisonous to children. And their long-term study was 8 weeks. I have cheese in my refrigerator that's older than 8 weeks. There is
Come on
no.
Now. But think
eight
about
weeks
it.
Is
They've
not,
still tested a number of people, have
yeah.
they not?
Yeah, 37. They tested 70,000 people around the world, but they tested adults, very small children, 1,500 children worldwide. In the U.S., 1,500. There are 8 billion people on the planet.
So, what's the argument here? Vaccines again? Your argument is for children should not get vaccines?
Yes.
Or?
No. Children nobody should get it, but children just definitely should not.
Yeah.
They don't have any idea what's going to happen. When you get vaccinated, at least in the U.S., when you get vaccinated a child at 6 months or whatever, statistically, within the next year and a half, a large 22% of them will die of sudden infant death syndrome from one vaccine. They call it SIDS. Sudden infant death syndrome. They can't attribute it to the vaccine, to the whatever the shots the kid got, because they haven't done any, nobody tests on children, right? But statistically, every time your child gets a shot, they get one at 6 months, they get one at a year, they get one at this, most of which they don't need, and most of which have aluminum and mercury, all sorts of weird things that kids shouldn't be getting anyway. So if you get a vaccine and your immune system hasn't, You're basically a clean slate when you're a baby, right? A neutral. Yeah. So over the course of your life, if you have any kind of genetic issues or whatever, it's going to take years to show up. I needed a kid who from 12 to 15 was fine. She went through her growth spurt or whatever at 18 and had an autoimmune disease, then couldn't figure it out for 5 years. She had doubled over in pain. She couldn't eat certain things. And this was a result of a culmination of her hitting puberty. And whatever was in her system, which is still in there, it's almost like Herpes viruses. You can get that, and you can get, most people have some, like the cold sore or the genital herpes.
And like 80% or more of people have it.
Right, and it'll lay dormant for years, and then all of a sudden something happens, and it your hormones kick in, and all of a sudden you've got a cold sore where you didn't have one before. This is the same thing with the experimental gene therapy. They don't know what's going to happen to a 5-year-old 10 years down the line, and the reason that they're okay with that is because the majority of the people that are making these decisions are going to be dead.
Yeah.
All of them.
And they're also going to make their money before it all happens.
Exactly. So they'll spend their money. Like that scientist said, we're not going to know how it works until we start giving it to children. Did you see that on Twitter?
What?
It
no.
was a couple of days ago. One of the panelists on one of the, and all the, I have the list of the panelists. Go to the Children's Health Defense Fund.
Well, the thing is, the money is the driver, because these vaccines have been the most profitable product in the history of pharmacological industry.
15 million millionaires.
For 100 years or more, the last 1 year or less has been the most profitable.
Yes. 15 new millionaires in the last 18 months, all drug CEOs and salespeople.
And it makes sense, because when you're paying people to have the laws written in your behalf so that your company thrives, then you can also tell those people to buy your product and distribute it to your population.
Well, you don't even have to tell people to buy it, because the government bought it all for you. Who else has a patent on most of the Pfizer, Moderna, J&J? Fauci's got three patents. The U.S. government has 7. They're making the money, we're paying for the research, and then we're paying again with our health. It's insane and it's insidious, and it needs to stop. It's crazy. Don't vaccinate your child. Don't give your kid in. It's just insane.
Well, this particular vaccination is the problem. In general, there are dangerous things that out there that you can catch and can hurt you, but this new one is a question, because while it is... scientists do show that it is somewhat safe in its conception. I don't think scientists know enough about how things work to be sure that something is safe. I mean, I'm a scientist in training myself, and we don't know what's happening.
What was
this? And you can't try to make something that will do something you want it to do, because it's too imprecise.
Exactly.
The what you hope will happen is always confounded by the natural chaos of the system and the particles and molecules in there. So something is always going to change. So now the question is, to what degree are the larger population need to make sacrifices for the few?
This is the science is the belief in the ignorance of the experts.
Well, yes, because you can say you're an expert, but you only know as much as you know.
And only about one subject. I mean, Anthony Fauci, he's an immunologist. Great. He's not a virologist. He's not an epidemiologist. And at the beginning of this, a bunch of Stanford epidemiologists, a virologist, public policy, all basically said that this is not as big as it should be. The infection fatality rate is not this, it's not that. And these were this is in January 2020. And they were shunned. Why? Because it's almost like you buy a pair of shoes, you want to go to that lovely outfit, you know, you want to go to that event, and then your date says, we're not going. You're still wearing those shoes, but you're just going to wear them to the bathroom. I mean, that's what happened. It's like they already had all this stuff. I tried to get a little levity there, you know, but it's like they already bought the stuff, so now they need to use it. You know, I could have had a very sexual one. It's like, I bought this strap-on, damn it. It's going in somewhere, you know. But that's what it is. It's like they already made the money. And never mind the fact that they have no liability. None of these drug companies have liability.
Yes, that's another thing. The law is written so that you cannot sue a drug manufacturer for injuries obtained from using their product. Now, I
kind of understand where they're coming from with that.
Why?
How?
Because there's a lot of...
When? What?
Who, what, where, when, why?
Hold on a second. There's a lot of things that they don't understand already. And as scientists, okay. You have a hypothesis and you do an experiment and maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work.
Yes.
Right? Eventually, at the end of the day, you're trying to improve, I guess, society. Because think about it this way. Look at Alzheimer's, the disease. There's no cure for it yet. But they're trying to develop something. And what they tell the patients is, we're going to give you this. We're not sure exactly how it works, but we hope that it's going to help with
your condition.
With your condition, right? Yeah. And that's the risk. It's like,
Right, but you tell those people that ahead of time. You don't tell, you don't create the product and then convince people that it works. And then when it doesn't work, go, okay, you tell them ahead of time. If I knew, if the American people and the worldwide people knew that this is an experiment, they should have stuck with the name, experimental gene therapy. There's a reason they didn't. Why? Because nobody wants to be a guinea pig. It's like, if I'm going to come to you and say, I have an experimental gene therapy versus I have a vaccine, which one are you going to be more likely to use?
I mean, I think the difference also had to do with the fact that the number of people, I guess, that were dying within that period of time was higher. So,
but they were also...
It was like a Band-Aid, you know?
Yeah, but it was also... The thing with Alzheimer's is that if you're 90 and you're half lucid, you're going to be willing to take a medication just to see it because maybe you could help somebody else. But you're 90. You're not 9. Okay, if you're 9 and your parents or your doctor comes up, or your parents say, well, or your doctor says, well, we're going to give them this experimental gene therapy that for a disease that they're probably not going to get in hopes that they, what? That's what's happening. Why are you giving me this? Why am I, your risk of this is so low that I'm going to give you something that you might get, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's the question, is what do the majority who have nothing to gain by having this vaccine because they're at low risk, how is it rationally explained to them to that they owe that to the few? You know, I always subscribed to the Mr. Spock line from Star Trek II, The Search for Spock, when he dies, and just before he dies, he says, sometimes the good, Spock says, the good of the many outweigh the good of the few, or the one, because Spock has sacrificed himself to save the ship, and the ship gets out of there, and then Spock dies. But
but then he comes back.
Then he comes back, and he says, well, and then he jokes and says, well, sometimes the good of the few outweigh the good of the many.
Exactly.
But that's a joke. But the rational part of it is that, you know, the larger portion should be the one that is focused on, and not the smaller portion. Mm-hmm. But emotionally, politicians cater to the lowest common emotional denominator, which is always save grandma. And, you know, if you're going to save grandma, then shoot them all up with the vaccine, keep them in, isolate them in their own houses, but let everybody else live the life.
No, that was the Great Barrington Declaration. They didn't do that.
That's what
they
I
did
mean.
It the now. Great... They every country that said, oh, you're going to let it rip thing, even though up until this one, that's what they basically did. You didn't know about the 2012. You didn't know about the 2015. You knew about Ebola in one little blurb on some, if you happen to catch the news. You didn't know about it until it hit your shores. But it was wreaking havoc in other parts of the country. But why did they decide to keep that one under wraps? Because it wasn't affecting a large percentage of the population. The 2003 one, 167,000 excess deaths. That's a lot of people. Did you hear about it? No.
Well, now show me that graph you showed with the difference in deaths between
mortality.
There was the deaths,
all cause mortality.
Yeah,
yeah.
So the year is 2003, 843 million deaths, and then it goes down, and then the year is 2020, 828 million deaths. So there's less deaths.
No, per 828 per 100,000.
Per 100,000. Sorry.
Right.
843.
Right.
In 2003.
Mm-hmm.
828 in 2020, and this is from where is this?
It's all cause mortality from. It should say in the bottom, but I can't read it.
Mises.org.
Oh, Mises organization, but that's from an actuary.
Oh no, source: Centers for Disease Control Historical Data.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
So less people died last year than in 2003.
Exactly.
Well.
And no. The thing is that when in 2003, not everybody who died in the last 2 years was labeled a COVID death. If you took out the if you in April 2020, Deborah Brick said every death from here on in. Who test positive after 28 days to wherever they are going to be considered a COVID death. My friend, who's a nurse, administrative nurse, does coding. They change the coding.
The coding in the computer for the disease.
Yes, for the death. There's two numbers for COVID. Like there's, you know, one for heart disease, one for Alzheimer's, then they have different ones for cancer. They have two different ones for COVID. One was with COVID and one was of COVID.
Oh.
And that was the only distinction. But nobody even did that. Hardly any autopsies over the last 18 months. Nobody's questioning anyone who questioned A friend of mine, I've had people die. My mother, my friend's mother was 97. She died. Nobody questioned what they died of. But if you look on the death certificate, even if she died of a heart attack, she was a smoker, blah, blah, guarantee she died of COVID.
I think I saw someone who fell off a horse, broke their neck, and they also had COVID as a
Or the motorcycle guy in Florida who died of COVID.
You mean he crashed his motorcycle?
And died of COVID because he tested positive for COVID. Right. Everybody that has died in the last 2 years has died of COVID, whether or not they died of COVID.
If they tested for it, yeah.
Well, no, even if they don't even have to test anymore. Now it's suspected. If you look on the CDC, it's suspected of. There's three categories. Definitely died of, suspected of, or probable, or something like that. It's all legal stuff right up there with efficiency. I mean, effective or maybe. I mean, the thing about the masks may help. They don't say they do. They say they may help, and that's what they do. And it's all about the language. It's insane. Effective, may be effective. They said that the vaccines are effective at... Are you filming?
I was.
There's no light on. I'm probably... You know, all you're going to see is my teeth.
Okay, now wait. Now you're talking about all the additional deaths that are not actually part of the realistic kind of evaluation of this procedure.
Cancer, heart disease.
So why would that be there?
Cha-ching.
Why would that be to perpetuate the fear that exists in the society, to perpetuate the engine that's running to keep people afraid and down? And when you are afraid, you are even less healthy and you're more likely able to...
Make bad decisions.
And you're more able to be controlled by propaganda and by things that are not necessarily true, but are catering to your base emotional instinct to keep you going in a certain direction. Now, there's been over 100 years of psychology studies, and there's more cutting-edge psychology that we know about. And if you were interested in controlling people, wouldn't you want to know about all these cutting-edge psychologies and using them to your best interests?
No, I just scare the bejesus out of them. I know exactly how to control people. Fear or intimidation. I work with kids. I'm pretty damn good at making people afraid without even touching them. Trust me.
Does that work as you get older? I feel like...
I've done it from day one. I've been watching kids. I've been in childcare for 30-something years. It's like you learn the power of when you babysit, you're babysitting a thing that can't really move. It's like, you know how enticing that is? It's like, I could do almost anything with you right now. And you can't even talk yet. You poop yourself. It's like, blah, blah, blah,
well,
blah,
that's what happens
power.
Is the is you get the people become infantilized in that they can't think for themselves or through peer pressure feel that they can't think rationally or express themselves in a different opinion than what they constantly see in a one-note symphony soap opera on the news channels, on the corporate media. So when you're under that kind of control, then you are infantilized and you are susceptible to any other kind of psychological manipulation.
Right. There's a certain aspect of the population that wants to be taken care of.
Yes. They
and
don't want to do anything.
I'm the person that wants to do it for them.
they don't want to do anything and they want to be told what to do. And there's different types of people and people like me, I don't want to be told what to do. I want to figure it out for myself. But the way it's been hijacked in a emotional way is, I think the whole concept of creating this fear and insinuating the psychological effects into society was very calculated and very clear, because it happened in a very similar way to how Nazis happened in 1930s Germany, except it came from the opposite side, so it didn't seem like the same thing. It didn't smell the same. The right side politically. Look, politics is generally just fake. It doesn't matter who the president is. But in this case, the right side, the seen as conservative side in Germany, was in a state of low economic state after World War I, and they were taken over by somebody who could make them feel better about themselves. And in this present moment, the people who are feeling emotionally low are given a task to save other people, to make them feel better about themselves. Mm-hmm. So it starts with the people on the left who are emotionally immature and maybe bullied when they were young and maybe just a hurting kind of soul for some reason that was given to them in earlier
right,
in life.
Right, they're wounded.
So they see the task of helping other people and making sure that we're all in this together as their new cause in life.
But you get, there's wounded people on the right, too, and you'd be surprised at how many... I mean, it's not even... If you still think it's about the war is about right and left, I get a bridge to sell you. It's us versus them. It isn't left and right anymore. It's versus them. And what has happened is, once you get to a certain... Fauci's a perfect example. When you've been in the same... When you've been in the same relationship... I've been with my husband for 30-something years. You get into patterns where there's a power dynamic. It's no different than somebody being in any kind of position. You get certain things done because you've been there longest, and everybody defers to your expertise or the fact that you've been there forever and ever and ever. But if you've been in the same position long enough, relationships specifically, if things don't change or develop or evolve, you get resentful. And I think at this point in time, Anthony Fauci's usefulness. Because he's got so much power and is so used to having people go, yes, 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 yes. If you don't do this, if you don't do that, if you don't do this. Or it's not even if you don't even do this. It's I'm going to tell you what to do. You're going to say thank you and take it and go. Because I'm at the top. I'm not going anywhere. I've got all these different systems in place. I know the pharmaceutical, what are they, lobbyists, of which Pfizer has 75, Moderna has 15. I mean, it's like, I know these guys, they take me out to lunch.
There's
they do
10
this,
for every member of Congress.
And on the same thing with Fauci, I've watched an interview with him, and I still blame him for the fact that I lost a bunch of my gay friends in the 80s. And I think he should be hung out to dry, John and Cordy.
Well, see, now that's why there's no, it doesn't matter who the president is, because the long-term government people stay in their jobs forever, and they're also compromised to in a way that the presidents are, because the presidents are chosen for their level of compromisedness the higher powers.
How could the strings can fit? But Fauci's a perfect example, because he basically has control of almost every aspect of the medical policy or whatever.
Really?
But he's never had a patient.
Oh.
He did one Ebola person because it was a friend of theirs. He has never practiced medicine. He basically went from Army, college, to government service so he could skip the draft. I don't know if this is true, but he joined in 1968. What was going on in 1968? Let's see. They were shipping people off to Vietnam.
Yeah.
What's a great way, if you didn't want to go to serve, you could work in the government. That was the option.
Now,
but also, right when this whole thing started, when Fauci was in his whole heyday.
I don't want to really talk about him because powerful.
I want to add one thing about Fauci. What he does, he used to be a former runner. Every day, you know how much vitamin C he takes?
I don't care.
50 mil. No, because he takes vitamin C, which if he had said, every day I eat a healthy diet, a clean diet, I run every other day, and I take this much vitamin D. And he was at the height of his...
D, okay.
Right, if he was at the height of his power, which was right around March or something, you know how many Americans would have probably done exactly the same thing?
And that was spread on the things that I listened to. Vitamin D was known as something that you could take. It was shown that the people who died were deficient in vitamin D. I think 3 out of 4 or more were deficient in vitamin D. So that's what you have to do. And how can you live a good life? I mean, how can you be healthy? Well, first you have to take a multivitamin every day. I take fish oil. Take that; it calms you down. It keeps the mind focused. I also take glucosamine and chondroitin for my joints because I was hit by a car while I was biking and I got two broken legs, so I need to keep that collagen in there. I also take collagen, which has resveratrol in it, which is keeps you young and going. And also, I just tried this thing called NAD. It's like fertilizer for your cells. It extends the telomeres at the end of your DNA, which is the only way you can tell if you're aging is if your telomeres shorten, because that leads to errors in the duplication of the cells. So as you get older, you're more likely to have problems with your cells. So
are you doing
is
D?
Aging a disease that they're trying to solve? So NAD stands for
Don't even worry about it.
I don't remember what it stands for.
Google it.
But it's
Google it. Betty, Google it.
It's basically like now I'm biking, and after an hour I'm biking, I need to get some juice and get up that hill. I have a reserve of energy that I can that just pushes me up there. I just call for it.
You also have an electric bike.
Yeah, right. Funny.
All right. Do you want to know what cheating. I do? I exercise every day. I take 10,000. I use a vitamin D. 16,000. I use every day of vitamin D. If I get sick, I start double dosing it. I take I can't remember what it is. Fish oil. And what's the other one? Calcium, vitamin C.
Now, the best...
NDHA. I can't remember what it is.
You have to get the exercise every day. I've lost 20% of my body weight in the past 5 years. That's 50 pounds. I'm now just under 200 pounds. I used to be 250 pounds.
Oh, my God.
But I've lost it by just deciding that I was going to do something better every day. And I slowly did things better. My nutritionist showed me the nutritionist was covered by Mass Health, by the way. So if you have Mass Health, get a nutritionist to show you the pieces of food. And they showed me the piece of food. If the piece of food fits in your hand, it's a good size. Shrink the size.
Yeah, that's
shrink
called your plates. Cookies.
Yeah, no cookies. No. Oh, yeah, so no sugar, no gluten, and then...
Fits in the size of your hand, pop it in your mouth.
Thanks.
Yum-O-Rama. I am a firm believer in exercise every single day.
You gotta go out.
But it's also a mental thing. It's like, I think that as opposed to most people, the last year and a half, average American, 15 to 30 pound weight gain. Depression levels have gone up. Anxiety levels have gone up. And what have they done to placate themselves? They're staying in their house and they're popping more medication.
I know. Or drinking more booze.
That is the total opposite of what they should be doing. Highest incidence of death in the last year, 30 to 50-year-olds. Alcoholism, opioid use, deaths of despair. They're not dying of COVID. They're dying because they're lonely. The second group, elderly people. Who still have not seen their grandkids in over a year and a half.
I haven't seen my nieces in a year and a half.
And
my
it's
sister
insane.
Is afraid of everything. How you can live in fear, I don't understand. But what we're trying to show here is that there is nothing to fear, because the world is a wonderful place, and the things that you're seeing on television and in mainstream, well, let's say corporate media like, for example, NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, Washington Post, New York Times, Huffington Post, many magazines like The Atlantic, Wired
Brought
Magazine.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
All of these are inherently corrupted by the need for making money that is provided by companies that make the drugs. So many things are true, but there are also many things that are worded and shaped in such a way as to affect you psychologically, so you'll click on it. But also, if the headline is out there, you just get the headline out there. Like, for example, I think Rolling Stone had something that said there were no emergency beds in Oklahoma because they were all filled with COVID patients. But they were not.
No.
That was a total lie and a fabrication. There were plenty of beds in Oklahoma, and
about the ivermectin thing.
Yeah,
saying that they were all overdosing on horse paste even before Joe Rogan.
Yeah, well, let's see. Joe Rogan is on Spotify. You should listen to him. Glenn Greenwald is the man who brought Julian Assange, Edward Snowden out and helped him publish his things. Listen to what Glenn Greenwald says.
Russell Brand.
Okay, Russell Brand is a good guy. He goes on a lot, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, but you can always press pause.
Yeah, or fast forward. Exactly. I wish he chapterized his things. And the Great Barrington Declaration, which we talked about, I think is reasonable account, and I did too. Let's see. Also, you know what I listen to on Sunday mornings, WZBC 90.3 FM, Sunday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. is Truth and Justice Radio. What a wonderful service that is provided, and it's also archived on their website.
Is it true? Do they say things that are true?
Well, to me, it's true. It goes against the corporate narrative.
Oh, well, then it must be better than anything else people listen to.
Really? That's the truth?
It widens. Well, it, I don't know what the truth is, but this gives you an alternative viewpoint to the large corporatized, right, propagandized kind of ideas that are out there all the
Can
time.
Can I add a couple? What's yeah. that? What's that website that I told you? The Oxford, Oxford. Hello, you. Did you fill out the thing? You're supposed to fill it out. Oxford University COVID assessment
simulation.
You can go on that or just Google. How did you find it?
COVID risk assessment, Oxford University.
Find it. You can fill out a form. Add. Go through. I did it. I have a 1 in 176,000 chance of dying from COVID at my age. Former cancer survivor. Rampant exerciser and vitamin healthy person. Also, there's rationalground.com. There's the Daily Skeptic. There's the Mises Institution. The COVID blog. There's so many things out there. Fightthefear.com. All these things are contrary to the. They're more research based than they are fear based. That's basically what it boils down to.
One thing I've got interested in lately is Brett Weinstein and his wife Heather Hyings podcast called the Dark Horse Podcast.
It's a good one.
That's brettweinstein.net. That's spelled WEINSTEIN.net. And with one T, Brett Weinstein. And the new book is called A Hunter-Gatherer's Guide to the 21st Century. Also, I mean, an astounding talent. Jordan Peterson is a professor from Toronto, and he wrote a book called The 12 Rules for Life, An Antidote to Chaos. And the first rule is stand up straight
chest
with
out.
Your shoulders back
yep.
and your chest out.
Chest out. Oh, and don't forget, what was the other one? Oh, man, I was going to... Oh, Children's Health Defense Fund. That's a good one. That's all about children, and I'm all about the kids. There's no reason for people to be vaccinating... Given these kids any experimental anything. You want to be a lab rat for life, fine, but don't condemn your child to the same fate. It's awful. It's child abuse. It's awful.
Well, the thing is, you've got to love each other, and you've got to give to each other, and give the kindness. And the fear the fear does not exist if you do not think about it. So...
How rational of you. If you don't think about it, it's not
it's
there.
Not there.
It's only in your
not
mind.
Thinking about it.
It's the biggest enemy. It's the biggest enemy.
Yep.
And it's the only enemy.
And it burns calories. But that's pretty much it. Fear and anxiety burn more calories than calm and relax. But that's
well,
okay.
I want to thank you for being here. Thank you for coming, BLAQ.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Becky, for being here.
You're welcome.
I thought it was Betty from Kenya.
Love you both.
Becky.
It's Becky.
Oh, you don't even know my name this whole time.
She knew it.
That's not my name.
Love you both. Thanks for being here. Have a good night, everybody.
Have a good one.
We could make an Oreo out of him.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
People say I'm crazy. Doing what I'm doing. Give me all kinds of warnings. Save me from ruin. And when I say that I'm okay, well, they look at me kind of strange. But surely you're not happy now, you no longer play the game. Ah, people say I'm lazy. Dreaming my life away. Well, they give me all kinds of advice designed to enlighten me. Tell them that I'm doing fine watching the shadows on the wall. Oh, don't you miss the big time, boy, you're no longer on the ball. Sitting here making the wheels go round and round, and rock that watched them roll. No longer riding on the merry-go-round, I just have to let it go. People asking questions. Lost in confusion.
no problem, only solution. Well, they shake their heads and they look at me as if I've lost my mind. I tell them there's no hurry, I'm just sitting here doing time. I'm just sitting here watching the wheels spin round and round. I really love to watch them roll. No longer riding on the merry-go-round. I just have to let it go. I just have to let it go.